Okay. Well, life is full of choices. We are making choices on a daily basis. Small choices, big choices. As I look around the room, I see some of you have older children who are making some important choices right now in their life. Choices like, where am I going to go to college? Should I go to college? What career should I pursue? What should I do with my life? The even bigger choice, who should I marry? There are some of you older folks here who are considering choices about your future. What does God want from me with the rest of my life that I have here on earth, however long that will be? I actually, there are several people who have even asked me about that in this church. You know, what does the Lord want from me in the latter part of my life? And then, of course, everyone in between, making choices every day. And so the main question I want to ask and I want us to think about this morning is, what does God want from me? How do I know God's will? How do I discover God's will for my life? What does He want? That's what I want us to focus on this morning. What is God's will for my life? And before we do that, I want to mention that about 5 years ago, 5 years ago already, it's been that long, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Paul went through and they did a 3-lesson series on this topic. What I want to do today is I simply want to maybe compact and complement that series, maybe adding my little twist to it, but to put it into kind of one lesson. Now, this was 5 years ago. We have new people here within the last 5 years. And this is a topic where I think we need reminders over and over again to kind of get this into our heads and into our hearts, because we are making choices all the time. What does the Lord want? How do we make a decision that is God's will? How do we know? So my simple outline this morning is this. First of all, we're going to look at the incorrect way to determine God's will for your life. And then we're going to look at the correct way to determine God's will for my life, for your life. Before we do that, I want to ask this question. Does God have a specific will for my life? Does God have a specific will for your life? No matter what your age here, does He? And I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes. So this is number one. God has a specific will for my life. And this is why I believe this. Letter A, the blank there, is David believed this. And I have references here to each of these points. We don't have time to look up all these references, but you have them. You can go back and look at these later. So David believed this, that God has a specific will for my life. Solomon believed this. Isaiah believed this. Jesus believed this. The early church believed this. Paul, letter F there, is Paul believed this. James believed this. And so here is the summary. Scripture teaches that God works all things after the counsel of His will. Ephesians 1:11. So since I am part of and you are part of the all things, then it follows that God has a specific will for you. He is working all things, including your life, after the counsel of His will. That is the summary of God having a specific will for our lives. For you, for each of you, He has a specific will for you. So the natural question is, how do I know it? What does He want? How can I know God's will? So let's look first of all at five incorrect ways for determining God's will. There are five of them here. Letter A, I don't find God's will by looking for open doors. I don't find God's will by looking for open doors. So let me give you some examples here. Someone says, I've been accepted to five different schools, five different colleges. That's an open door, right? You've been accepted to five schools. Which one does God want you to go to? Or here's another example. It must be God's will. They sent me a credit card application. It's an open door or an open mailbox. That must be God's will. I have an open door. I'm saying we don't determine God's will by open doors. Why? Number one, how do you know God opened the door? Number two, we have an open door to sin every day. Think about that. Or to put it in the context of the book of Jonah, there is always a ship going to Tarshish. And that's exactly where Jonah was not supposed to go. So we don't find God's will by looking for open doors. That's not how we determine His will for our lives. Secondly, we don't find God's will by looking at circumstances. Circumstances. Let me give you some examples here of what I mean. Someone says, the mission board turned down my application, therefore I know that it's God's will that I'm not supposed to be a missionary. The circumstance is the mission board turned down my application, therefore I know that it's God's will that I should not be a missionary. Or someone says, I know that it's God's will that I buy the Chevy. It's the right price. It has all the options I want. And I have a 3-day return policy, no questions asked. It must be God's will. All the circumstances are right. Well, let me ask you this. Number one here, how do you know how to interpret circumstances? See, the problem with circumstances is that they can mean one thing to you and another thing to someone else. So back to the illustration or the example about the Chevy. I say it's the right price for me. But in reality, the truth might be that it may be more expensive than what I can afford. And I'm going beyond my means. So if I got a second person to look in on and help me make the decision, they might say, you know what? That's probably not the best car for you. I think it's out of your price range. But for you, you think it is fine. The point is we don't determine God's will for our lives based on circumstances. Number two there, I say circumstances are not vehicles, no pun intended, of divine will. We don't find God's will by looking for open doors. We don't find God's will by circumstances, looking at our circumstances. And letter C, or number three, we don't find God's will by results, by analyzing results. It must be God's will. Look how good things are going. You know, I've seen churches and ministries where on the outside it looks like things are going well, but on the inside you get under the hood and things are a mess. And think about it. If we analyzed results, just think about church ministry. If we analyzed results, surely the mega churches are doing really well. Surely they are doing God's will. Because they're huge. They're successful. But why doesn't results determine God's will? Number one there, Jesus Christ, his earthly ministry ended in death. That didn't go so well. Number two, Jeremiah had few results in his ministry. If Jeremiah looked at the results of his ministry, he would have quit doing God's will. He couldn't look at results. He had to look at the promises and commands and the will of God for him, not at the results. Success doesn't determine God's will. You don't find God's will by open doors, by circumstances, by results. Number four, letter D, we don't find God's will based on our feelings. So someone says, you know, my folks want me to go to the U, but I've prayed about it and I don't have peace. It must not be God's will. Or it must be God's will that I drive the Porsche. I have peace about it. You get the point. The point is that feelings can be deceptive. You know this. Our feelings are deceptive. They fluctuate daily, hourly, minute by minute. Having unrest, this is number two there, having unrest about a decision does not necessarily mean that it's not God's will. The Bible never tells us to make a decision based on having peace. Never tells us to base a decision on having peace. Never. So we don't find God's will by open doors, by circumstances, by results, by our feelings. Finally, we don't find God's will by putting out a fleece. Fleece is the underline. A fleece. So let me give you some examples. Fleece, F-L-E-E-C-E. So I have three employers that offered me the job, and whichever one God wants me to take is going to be the one who calls me first. That's an example of putting out a fleece. Or you know, someone puts out, they say, I've kind of tested God. I've put out this statement. If God wants me to do this, I know it's His will because, you know, this is going to happen. Like I just said, whoever calls me first, that's God's will. Now, this fleece idea, if you know, this comes from the story of Gideon, and many people go to this story and they use it as a basis to determine God's will. But, number one there, I say God had already given Gideon, we don't have time to look at the specifics here, but He had already given Gideon specific instructions. And Gideon, I believe, was spiritually weak when he put out the fleece, an indication of his doubt, not his faith. And again, Scripture nowhere commands us to put out a fleece. So we don't find God's will by open doors, by circumstances, by results, by feelings, and by fleeces. So you're left to think, well, how in the world, I hope you're left with this feeling, how do I determine God's will? Like, I thought maybe it was partly circumstances or partly results, partly open doors. I want to give you three steps. I'll call them steps. To take the confusion, the consternation, and the chaos out of this whole idea of finding God's will. And I hope this is super helpful for you. It has been for me. This has been liberating for me. These, quote, three steps. As we go through these three steps, what I want to do is I'm going to give here a mundane example so we can use this example as we go through these three steps. So here's the example. Should I buy the Chevy or the Ford? What does God want? Okay, remember, going back to the beginning, God has a specific will for my life. So I know I should drive the Chevy or the Ford. I can't drive both. Well, maybe that you could, theoretically. But let's say your budget is such that you can't. You have to pick one or the other. Does God want me to buy the Chevy or the Ford? First step, number one, letter A there. Find and do what is clearly revealed in Scriptures. Scriptures is the underline. So how do you know if God wants you to buy the Chevy or the Ford? You find and do what is clearly revealed in Scriptures. Let me give you an example, or three examples actually. God's will for you, God's will for me, is to be an active member of a church. Not being a member of a church, not being a part of a church, is not God's will for you. I know that. I can say that based on the authority of the Scriptures. The second example, God's will for me, God's will for you, is to give thanks in everything. So the implication is complaining about your circumstances is not God's will for you. I know that it's not God's will that you complain about your circumstances. Number three, God's will for me is to remain pure. Right? So I know that it's God's will that you stay pure in your life. So God's will for you is not to look at pornography. God's will for you is not fornication. I know that's God's will. God's will is for you to remain pure. Just three examples. So, should I buy the Chevy or the Ford? What specific verses speak to the issue? Well, actually, I can tell you that you shouldn't buy the Chevy or the Ford. You should buy the Honda or the Toyota. No, just kidding. If you're delusional and you buy the Chevy or the Ford, that's okay. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18 speaks to the issue, doesn't it? Are you thankful for the current car that you have? Give thanks in everything. That's God's will for you. So that is a specific verse that speaks to the issue of what does God want from me? So let's say you are thankful for your circumstances. You are thankful for what God's given you. But you still need a new car. So what do? Well, the second step, letter B. Apply general biblical principles. Biblical principles. What do I mean by this? Several things. First of all, gather data on your heart. Right? What is the reason for wanting it? So, do you want one or the other car? Is it to impress your friends? Well, God says that pride is sin. So, I probably shouldn't make a decision based on wanting to impress friends. I must have it. Well, actually, the Bible says we must be content. You ever get to a point where you feel so much that I just need this thing? Well, do you really? I mean, maybe, but do you really? So do you really need the Chevy or the Ford? Maybe. So gather data on your heart and apply biblical principles on the decision from, you know, based on your heart. Secondly, gather data on your decision. Things like, and these are just all examples, like things like, how would I pay for it? Well, we know a principle in the Bible is that we are to be good stewards of what God has given us. Right? So we shouldn't go above our means in buying a vehicle. So it might not be God's will because we might not have the funds available. It might be going above our means. Or another biblical principle. How will this decision, and I'm just using the Chevy, the Ford, but millions of decisions we're all making. How does the decision affect my life? We are to seek God's kingdom first. That's the biblical principle. Seek His kingdom first, and then all these things will be added unto you. And in that passage, it's the necessities of life. So are you seeking God's kingdom? So you're driving to the dealership. You're going to test the Chevy. You're going to test the Ford. Am I seeking God's kingdom first? Is that really what I'm doing? Is that where my heart is? And then third, gather data from others. What do my parents or my pastors or friends think about my decision? What are they going to say? Things that I need to hear, not necessarily that I want to hear, not necessarily what I want to hear. Now, I'm not talking about, asking someone for advice about whether you should eat ham or turkey on any given day. I mean, maybe that might be something you need advice about, but I'm talking about, who should I date? Or should I purchase this house? Those type of questions. And I think this point number three, gathering data from others. I mean, we see this over and over in the scriptures. In fact, you read the book of Proverbs and you see over and over the wisdom in gathering input from others. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. And I've listed several references. There's many more you could look up and I could have added here. So, you want to apply biblical principles to your decision. So the first step, what's the first step? The first step, I'm summarizing here in number four. The first step is to apply specific verses to the decision. And the second step is to apply biblical principles to the decision. And then once you do that, the decision will often be made. But what if you're finding and doing specific verses and you're applying biblical principles. What if you are left with if you're left with alternatives between two biblical choices? Two good decisions that all the specific verses sort of, check, and then all the biblical principles, I've applied it all, I'm left with a decision. Should I buy the Chevy or should I buy the Ford? What should you do? Well, here's what you should do. Letter C. God will make my desires His desires. And I get this from Psalm 37, verse 4. I've printed it out there on your handout. Psalm 37, 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Now, this verse, I misunderstood it for a long time. It does not mean that when you delight in the Lord, then you can get what you want. You're laughing. Yeah. That's what I thought for a while. I kind of a tit for tat. Well, I delight in the Lord, and, I'm going to get what I want. It means, listen, it means that when you are following specific verses and applying biblical principles, you are in that moment delighting in the Lord. That makes it so concrete, doesn't it? Delighting in the Lord is not some feeling that you got to muster up and work up. It's not something you wake up and, oh, I'm delighting in the Lord today, and then something bad happens and I'm not delighting in the Lord. No, I take it that when you're delighting in the Lord, it means that you're living based upon His Word. You're applying all the verses that you know, the specific verses, and you're applying all the principles to your life, and in that moment you're delighting in the Lord. And when you're delighting in the Lord, He is going to make His desires your desires. So should I buy the Chevy or Ford? Well, looking at all the specific verses and applying all the biblical principles, what do I say? After you're doing that, buy the car you want to buy. It's it. And that will be God's will for you. That will be God's will for you because you are delighting in Him and He has made His desires to be congruent with your desires. So let me summarize here. Perform specific verses of God's revealed will in Scripture to the best of your ability. Apply, secondly, biblical principles to the decision. Don't rely on open doors, on circumstances, on results, on feelings, and on fleeces. Rely on the Word of God. And then, and only then, after you are doing steps 1 and 2, do what you really want. God will make His desires your desires. So if you apply this model, these 3 steps, this is what I've done in my life. If you apply this, I think you will know what God's will for your life is as you walk daily in your life, following Him. So I want you, and I really mean this, if you have some kind of decision that you're facing, please come talk to me or even one of the pastors. We would love to help you look at the Scriptures and help you to see what God might have for you. All we would do is the best of our ability is take the Scriptures and try to apply them to your situation. It's really doing that step about seeking others' counsel. So I mean that. Come to me. I want to help walk through this model with you. If you have some kind of decision that you're facing that you don't know. Hopefully this has been helpful in giving you some direction in that decision. So what I want to do, we have 15 minutes, is let's break in our tables and let's go through these questions on the back of your handout. Looking up these verses. If you don't get to them all, that's fine. Maybe you can skip them, and then if you want to do question 2 or 3, you can do that too. But whatever you get to today is what you get to, and you can reflect on these further at a later point. Okay? So let's do that now. We have 15 minutes. Let's kind of apply this lesson.